Praise God. Praise God, my brothers and sisters. It's good to have you. This is Spirit and Life, and I'm Dr. Emmanuel Sommer. Glad to share God's Word with you today. And for those who have been following, we have been looking at the hidden wisdoms and the wisdoms of God. And one of the greatest wisdoms of God is Christ. And we carry on with these learnings that we are trying to understand who is Christ and what is Christ and what is this mystery that God hid before, you know, the foundations of the earth were laid. The Bible tells us that if the rulers of this world had known that by crucifying the Lord of glory, they would have brought many sons into glory, they will not have crucified. If the devil had an idea of who Jesus was, hidden God hidden in flesh, divinity hidden in humanity, walking on the face of the earth, if the devil had an idea, he will not have crucified him. Because that was a mystery of God. That was a wisdom of God, that by the crucifixion of the Son of God, then God is able to bring many sons into glory. And that is what God had hid for us. That is what God had made possible for you and me, that we may become sons of God. And today, I want us to look at this aspect of being a son of God, and by the grace of God, dig into it and look at what are the promises of God and what is the plan of God for you and me to become a son of God. And so it's a mystery because it is a wisdom of God. And the Bible says that we speak a word of wisdom among the mature. And so today I pray by the grace of God that you shall receive this wisdom of God. And so we'll start our teaching today from the book of Matthew chapter 16. And we will ask ourselves the question where Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And when we are there, Matthew chapter 16 verse 13, it says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ." So Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, and you see, this was a place where Caesar Philippi had constructed. You know, he had done this great building, a monument, and so Jesus used this opportunity of a building to start to explain to his disciples who he is. And then he asked them the question, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And you see, the Son of Man is a title that Jesus used to refer to himself. You see, he knew that he was the Son of God. But you see, the wisdom of God was that it was not just going to be open to the world that he is the Son of God. Because the Bible knows that, and the Bible tells us that creation has been eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. The first son of God that was placed on the earth is Adam, and the Bible tells us that Adam, the son of God. So, when the first Son of God came on the earth, God gave that Son of God dominion. He gave him dominion over the fish, over the birds of the air, over the land, over every animal, over every creeping thing. And God said, let me make man in my own image and likeness. And so Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. That means he represented the character, the attributes. He had also the authority that he was given to have dominion, to be the representative of God on the earth, to function as God on the earth. That's why God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. The likeness part is a function that man was supposed to function as God, or to function in the place of God on the physical dominion of God. And the physical, because the Bible says, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And so we see that the highest heavens, he has told us the highest heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So when God made the earth was made for man. It wasn't meant for angels. It wasn't meant for spiritual beings. It wasn't meant for fallen angels or for demons. The earth is a physical world, is a three-dimensional world that is meant for man. But you see, when man came into the scene, there were also other physical, other spiritual beings that existed. And one were the fallen angels, in which the devil, through a technology, came into the serpent and came in to corrupt God's creation. And through deception, he deceived the woman. He deceived Eve. And Eve, being deceived of God, she was asked, did God really say that you will, if you eat of the fruit, you will die? And the devil and the serpent came to question the word of God that was given to Adam. You see, Eve wasn't there when that word was given, and that was a problem. But you see, when Eve is being deceived, the Bible tells us that Adam, who was with her, she took the fruit and ate it and gave it to Adam, who was with her. And the Bible says it was not Adam that was deceived, but it was the woman that was deceived. It was Eve that was deceived. Adam rebelled against God. Adam was not deceived. Adam knew that he was not supposed to eat that. He knew, because God had already brought in the animals. He had named them. You know, that was the test run of God to see the creation that I have made. Have I made it in my image and likeness? Is it function? And the Bible says whatever Adam named it, that was its name. That tells us that there was a great responsibility that God had given man on the earth. Dominion. But you see, when Adam rebelled against God, when he decided to obey the devil, he became a slave of the devil, and he handed over his dominion to the devil. And Satan from that day became the god, small g, of this world, and he has authority over everyone that is under the lineage or that bears the image of Adam. The Bible says the devil is able to take them captive at his will. Anyone that is under the lineage, coming from the seed of Adam, is a captive to the devil, is under the dominion of the devil, is under the forces of darkness. The forces of darkness blind them. They take control of them. They take them captive at their own will. The Bible says those of this world, they are blinded. They are taken captive. They are prisoners of the devil, because Adam rebelled and he became a slave of the devil. And so this dominion of Adam, God needed to restore that dominion that he had given to man. And later on, when we see in the book of Job, the Bible says when the sons of God came to present themselves to God, the devil also came along them. And God asked him, where have you been? And he says, from roaming up and down, to and fro the earth. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? So we see that the devil took on that place of man. He took on that dominion of man to be a son of God. And he held on to it until God had to introduce Christ on the scene. God had to bring Jesus on the scene. And the Bible says he had to come as the seed of the woman. And the Bible says that God begot Christ became the only begotten Son of God. That means he came through the power of the Holy Spirit and entered into the womb of Mary. The Bible says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So when the Word became flesh, God brought in his Son. He brought in a second Adam. The Bible calls Christ the second and the last Adam. That means for dominion of man to be restored, a second Adam had to be introduced on the scene. Who is this second Adam? The second Adam came in as Jesus Christ. The Bible says, although he had made the world, he came to his own, yet his own did not receive him. But to those who believed him, to those who received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. So the Word became flesh and entered his creation. Now, when the Word became flesh, he became and he came in as the Son of God. But you see, he came in as a mystery, because the devil was equally looking for the Son of God. And you see, on the day of his baptism, when Jesus came out of the water, what happens? The Bible tells us as he was baptized, as he came out of the water, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit came and descended upon him in bodily form, in the form of a dove. And then the Bible says there was a voice heard from heaven, and it said that this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So it was that at that announcement by the Jordan that the forces, the devil became aware that this is the Son of God. A Son of God has come on the earth. And so when the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he's there for 40 days being tested and being tempted by the devil, the Bible says that the first temptation that is listed for us is that he asked him, if you are the Son of God. So the devil wanted Jesus to prove that he is the Son of God based on what he had heard. He wanted him to reveal himself before time. And so he asked him, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He wanted him to use his authority in the wrong way. But you see, sons of God does not mean that we are outside of our Father. Being a son of God means that we still have to be subservient to God. We still have to be obedient to God. We do what he does. Jesus said, I do nothing of my own accord. I only do what I see my Father doing. So we are in that place where God has brought us to the place where he wants us to become sons of God. And he makes us sons of God by faith. When we put our lives to, when we give our lives to Jesus, we become sons of God. And we function on the earth with authority. The Bible says creation has been groaning as in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. So what am I saying? Now, when he told his disciples that, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That means that it was a revelation that came to Peter. That, you know what? You're not just Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus from Nazareth. You're not just a good teacher that we have been walking with. You are the Messiah, because the Christ is the same as the Messiah, because the Christ is Greek, the Messiah is Hebrew. You are the Messiah, you are the Christ. And what is the Christ? The Christ to the Jews meant a king was coming. The Christ to the king meant a ruler, an eternal king. To them, they were expecting a physical king. But you see, he tells them that. And what the reason why it's a revelation to Simon Peter is because it spoke of his divinity. Because remember, Jesus is asking them, who do you say, or who do people say that the Son of Man is? Remember, when Jesus walked on the earth, he was 100% human, but he was also 100% God. And so he says, who do you say that I am? He says, I am. You are, Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let that sink in, because now Simon understood that he was not dealing with a Jew, he was dealing with the Son of the living God. And so it was a revelation to know that this is no longer just a person, this is the actual Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the one that they were waiting for. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you. I tell you today, when you come to the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, then you are blessed. He is not just a prophet, because some say that he is John the Baptist. Others say that he is Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said, no, he is not just a prophet. He is the Son of the living God. Remember, he was not born of the seed of Adam. He's born of the seed of the woman, but he's also born under the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, when the Word becomes flesh and dwells amongst us, then God became a man in Christ. God became a man in Jesus Christ. And now when he is in the flesh, he says, you are Simon. You are Peter. And what does that Peter mean? And he tells you, you are Peter. And Peter meant, you know, a rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. On this revelation. Yes, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Yes, because they laid the foundation. But you see the rock, the big rock, because Peter is Petras and Petros. The big rock that Christ is referring to is that revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Christ, now we must equate that the Christ represents the Son of God. That's one of the definitions of the Christ. There are many definitions of the Christ, and with time God will be able to help us break them down. But one of the core definitions of the Christ is the Son of the living God. And this is what Peter is able to understand by the Spirit. That's why he said, blessed are you. And I tell you today, you are blessed when you've come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Because that is the core foundation of our faith. That is the core foundation of our belief system as believers in Christ. And he says, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. When you come to the understanding that Christ is the Son of the living God, then you receive keys. He says, and I will build my church. And this is the first time the word church is mentioned. Church represents ecclesia, represents the community, God's people. So God's people are those that are built on the revelation that they are under the Son of the living God, that they are come to Christ, the church of the firstborn. The Bible says the church of the firstborn. So Christ is the firstborn, the begotten, the only begotten Son of God. But you see, God was not just content to have only Christ as the Son of God. He also wanted you and me to become sons of God. Yes, God wanted you and me to become a son of God. And the Bible says that yet to all those that believed in his name, to all those that received him, if you go to John chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to those who believed him, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the power to become sons of God. There is a power, there is a right to become a son of God that only comes when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And here, believing is not just a thought pattern. It is believing with your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here is a place where you acknowledge that Jesus is your Lord. He is the Lord. He is not only Lord, meaning he is Jehovah, because the word Lord used to refer to Jehovah. That means he is God. But he is immortal. He is God. And when we believe in him, the Bible says, yet to those who believed him, to those who received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. Now, God's desire was always to have children, to have sons of God. And the Bible tells us that it was for his good pleasure. It gives God pleasure when those that have believed in his name that function on the earth as sons of God. It gives God great pleasure. That's why the Bible says there's great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner turns away from sin and turns to life. Why? Because it gives God great pleasure. And maybe we can just look at that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, maybe we can read verse 3 to 5. The Bible says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And verse 5, which is core, and having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, or unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The will of God, the good pleasure of God's will, was that he had chosen us in Christ to be adopted as sons of God. You are an adopted child of God the moment you put your faith in Christ. And let us just link it up with Romans chapter 8, and where the Bible speaks to us that we have not received the spirit of bondage. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God was not just content to have Jesus as his only son of God, but he also wanted other sons of God. And the place of the functioning of the Son of God is on the earth. I want you to understand that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that Jesus came to establish, is the kingdom for men on the earth. God rules in the highest of heavens. That is his throne. No one can take it away from him. He can never share his glory with us, with anyone. But you see, he wanted us to also be partakers of the same glory. Those that believe in him to also function like him, the same way that he made Adam to function as a son of God on the earth, to have dominion. He also wanted you and me, who Jesus comes to restore that authority when he defeats the devil through death, through going to hell and conquering and defeating death and the grave and resurrecting. And as he resurrects victorious and goes and sits at the highest place in the heavens and is seated at the right hand of the Father, meaning the place of authority, not a physical right hand, but the place of authority, which is the highest throne in heaven, which is the throne of the Christ. And that is where Christ is seated. And the Bible says he has raised us up with him and he has seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ. So the believer, the place of the believer is in that throne as well. And that's why the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of God, to the throne of grace, and receive mercy and grace for our time of need. The place where we have access to is the throne of the Christ, which is the highest throne. The right hand of God, the place of authority, the highest authority, far above all thrones, all dominions, all powers, all principalities. And that is why we have dominion not only over the earth, but also over the heavens. Because the Bible says that I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. The new creation, the new believer, the Son of God has authority on the earth. And also has authority in the heavens. Possessor of heaven and earth. God wants you and me to walk in authority, that authority is hidden in your believing in Christ. Christ, the Son of the living God. He gives you a power. Oh, what God, great pleasure that it gives God. The Bible says, just because the children are made of flesh and blood, he himself became a partaker of the same flesh and blood. And it was pleased God that so that he brings many sons into glory. God desired to bring you and me who have believed, who are going to believe, into glory. And I want to stop there today, and I believe that God has spoken to us. And take time and look at the scriptures, listen again, and let it soak in you. Let us pray. I'll give you an opportunity, if you've never given your life to Jesus, to become a son of God. And how do you become a son of God? By putting your faith in Jesus Christ and believing that he died for your sins to forgive you of all your sins. And by putting your faith in him, he gives you the right, the power to become a son of God. Just say these words after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I thank you that you died for my sins and you were raised for my glory. And today I'm forgiven. And today I'm given the right to function as a son of God. And I'm given the Holy Spirit, who is God with us and God in us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for my listener. Thank you for the message that has come, that you hid a mystery, that you desired many sons in glory. And I thank you that indeed with that authority, may we walk in the power, may we walk in the will, may we walk under the guidance, may we be led by you, may we experience every authority that is given for the sons of God. May we know our place. May we take our stand against the forces of darkness, against those stubborn forces that still want to lay claim to that which you have done for us in Christ Jesus. And indeed, you are the Son of the living God, and you have brought us into unity, into union with you, and we are seated with you. I pray that indeed you meet our needs, those that are trusting you for various needs, that you shall give them according to your good pleasure. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Pray and believe.